The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Luke chapter 19. If you want to turn there real quick. We'll read that again because I think it's important that we look at that, what Jesus was saying. Verse 11. Let's just start with verse 12. We've already read verse 11 many times. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. Do business until I come. Now, what we see in this parable that Jesus is giving to his disciples is a message about the kingdom of God and what's going to happen before Jesus is the king that distributes the money to the people, to his servants. And he tells his servants to go forth and do business until he comes. And of course, we know what he was talking about. He was talking about doing business, doing kingdom business. And what is kingdom business? Well, it's not what we've always thought of as kingdom business, just praying and reading your Bible and going to church. We've separated it and into what we think of as spiritual things. Doing business in the kingdom of God is whatever we do and wherever we go. That's the kingdom business. Because you are a kingdom representative. So when you go out to your job on Monday morning, you are going out to do business for Jesus. That's right. Kingdom business. When you go to an unsaved person's house to visit them or have interaction with people who do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, you are doing business till he comes. If you are a business person and you are interacting and doing business on a regular basis, exchanging with people, you are doing kingdom business till he comes. No matter what you're doing. We've got to get away from it. And I talked extensively about Platonic thinking, where we got our lines of division and how we divide spiritual things from physical things. I'm not going to go into that again this morning. Get the tape. Because if you don't get the tapes from before and hear the explanation of this, you're going to be real confused about some of the things I've talked about. You're just going to get bits and pieces. I talked about the Gnostics and how there was two veins of Gnostics. How one group believed you could just do about anything. The other group believed you couldn't do anything. Anything and everything that had pleasure in it was wrong. That vein of thinking came down through the Catholic Church into the Protestant Church, and particularly in our area. When I was growing up as a kid, my parents, basically the philosophy from the church was that you couldn't do anything that brought you pleasure. You weren't allowed to go to a movie. It didn't matter what kind of a movie it was. You weren't allowed to be seen in a theater. Right. If you went to a theater, you were considered a heathen. You know, and there were certain things that you weren't allowed to do. Most things you weren't allowed to do. Basically what you were allowed to do as a Christian was get a job and go to work, have a family, and go to church. Any other pleasures were not allowed in order to be spiritual. Now that permeates our area because that was the holiness movement. And that's the way the holiness movement, they believe. Now, there are good things about the holiness movement. I'm not trying to say it was horrible or terrible. I'm saying they went off in that area and it hindered the growth of the church because it held us back. Yes, sir. So what I want to be able to do this morning is that I want to be able to share with you how we need to change our thinking. We need to change two things about our thinking. Okay? That's what we've been talking about. The pattern of our thinking, which we talked extensively about, and the process of our thinking, which we've already talked about. So I just want to try to pick up from there and move on with this message. Because our thinking, it's very, very important that we recognize that we have had a pessimistic view of life in general. And we've kind of drawn back from the world being salt and light in the world like Jesus has told us to be because of this negative pessimistic view. I heard someone say that on the pessimist's gravestone, the epitaph, it should say, "I expected this." Well, come on. True? Right. It's going to happen to all of us, but the pessimist is always thinking about, it's going to happen to me today. Evil things, nasty things. Come on, let's get away from that nasty thinking, that negative thinking, that pessimistic view of life. Jesus said, "I want to give you life and give it more abundantly."
That's right.
Whew. Yes. Isn't that good stuff?
Yes, it is.
Come on. We need to get excited about what Jesus said. Overflowing is what that word, that Greek word there means, that he wants to give you abundance, more than enough, overflowing. The kind of abundance in your life so that you can share it with others and make a difference in other people's lives. Okay. So what we want to look at is that to understanding how our thinking must change. We must understand that we've had the wrong pattern and the wrong process of thinking. The Word of God makes it perfectly clear in Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, when you make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, you're born again. Your spirit is born again. You are a spiritual being, and you get a born-again spirit. But your mind and your body have to be brought under subjection. You have to control it. You have to recognize the only way that you're going to control it is by understanding what the Word of God says. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the thing that he said to Satan, he didn't say, "I rebuke you, get out of my face, get behind me," by himself. He said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." He just kept telling the enemy, "This is God's word. And it is written." You see, that's how you're going to change your thinking, is knowing what the Word of God says. It is written. It's written.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I heard a story the other day about an island that was filled with cannibals. And missionaries kept coming to this island. And a lot of them lost their life because they were trying to share the gospel with these cannibals. They became a meal. They were invited to dinner and it wasn't a good thing. Finally, they broke through. And the chief received Christ as a personal Savior. And the whole place... Now, this is what it means when Jesus said, told us that all authority has been given to us. Go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. That's what it's talking about. See, when you reach the influencers,
yeah.
of a society.
Right.
You change a society.
Right.
It changes the whole society. So they accepted Christ, pretty much the whole island. And a few years later, an army officer from Great Britain came to this island, and he was visiting, and he went to visit the chief, and he walked in, and the chief was sitting there reading his Bible. And that army officer and his proud, arrogant manner and ways said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Why, I'm reading the Bible. This book changed my life." He said, "Don't you realize that that book is outdated? We don't believe in that book anymore. That book is full of fables." And the chief said, "But this book changed my life. I used to eat people like you. But now, I used to hate people. I used to abuse people. I used to mistreat my family. But now I love everyone." And he looked at that guy and he said, "White man, are you trying to tell me that I should throw this book away and eat you?" Think about it. What do you think that guy's answer was? That book changes lives.
That's right.
Receiving Christ as your personal Savior will change you. It will change. You become a new creature in Christ. But you have to take the book. You have to take the Word of God. If we're going to change culture, we have to make disciples of people. Not just see people saved and come into the kingdom. Coming into the kingdom is wonderful, but they need to be disciples. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is someone who adheres to the teachings. A disciple is someone who tries their best to do what the Savior said to do. "Keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," he said. So what we need to recognize that if we're going to do the things that Jesus taught us to do, just getting people saved isn't enough.
Yes. Yes.
They have to be transformed. They have to be willing to have their minds transformed. And see, not everybody's willing to have their minds transformed. Not everybody's willing to bring their body under subjection. It's hard. You know, that was one thing about the holiness teachings. They taught people to have self-control. And that's good. That's very good. Okay. Well, let's look at, I don't want to do any review. I want to try to get right into it. In Genesis, we talked about how important it is for us to understand Genesis 1, 26 and through 28, that God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth and said to go and be fruitful and multiply and spread the kingdom of God. You see, when God placed Adam and Eve, something that we very seldom think about, that we don't know what the rest of the world was like at that time. God looked at it and said, "It is good." However, he planted a garden that was perfect in all its ways. And he put man in it. And he told man to tend it, take care of it, and expand it. That was the mandate, to expand the kingdom of God in the earth. Of course, Adam and Eve gave their allegiance over to the enemy, to the god of this world, to Satan. So it gave him some authority in this earth. But God has always had his representatives walking in the earth. Noah, Abraham, Moses, the children of Israel. God's always had his representatives. And no matter what was happening, God had his representatives in the right place at the right time. Those who were willing to be used by him. Even when the nation of Israel fell to their enemies and was carried off into Babylon because they failed to follow the commandments of the Lord, God had specific people that would be obedient to him, that he placed in strategic positions Daniel and his friends so that they could influence that nation. It's happened. Joseph is a good example of that. He went into Egypt. Everywhere he went, he rose to a position of influence. Influencers. Being affluent and influent, an influencer in our society, in our culture, is very important. God has called us to that. And that's why it's important for us to recognize that coming here on Sunday morning is a wonderful thing. Thank you for being here. Praise God. I'm glad you're here. I don't know if I should thank you for being here. You should thank me for opening the door so you can come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get to meet God here. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I got to work on you a little bit here and there. But you know, it's a good thing. The purpose of coming here this morning is to be equipped. To be equipped for the ministry. For the work of the ministry. So that when you go back out these doors, you're ready to do whatever it is that God has called you to do throughout this week. You're excited. We want you to come in here. I don't want you to come in here and sit through the service with a long face, look like you've been sucking on pickle juice before you come in here. I don't want you to experience that kind of attitude and experience here at Bethel Worship Center. I want you to know that you can be excited about your relationship with God. He has called you to something higher. You are special in His eyes. Whatever you are doing, He has allowed you to be in that place. And if you're not in the right place, ask Him where He wants you to be so you can get in the right place.
Yes, sir.
If you hate the place that you are right now, ask Him to give you another place. He may say, I want you here for right now. So listen to Him. Be obedient. But He may also say, all right, I'm going to open these doors and you're going to go off on a brand new adventure for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of you, but ever since I made Christ my personal Savior, life has been nothing but one adventure after another.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. It's been exciting.
Yes, sir.
And many times, much to my wife's chagrin, she wasn't too happy about all the things that I felt like God wanted us to do. In the direction God wanted us. But you know what? When we look back on it, we look back and we think, wow, look what God did. I want to live my life in such a way that if I ever get to the point where I'm so old that all I can do is sit in my rocking chair with my lovely wife beside of me, sitting in her rocking chair, we can talk about the awesome things that God did in our life. We can go back and recall. You remember when we were youth pastors and youth leaders and what God did there. And we did those youth, what were they called? Youth, Mary, help me. Youth activities. Okay. Well, I was thinking I think we had something. Rallies, something, okay, all right, yeah. Youth gatherings, whatever. Jim and Mary Huffman were a part of that and helped us a great deal, and we had a great time doing it. And then we went off to Athens to work at Children's Services, and that was a great adventure. And then we opened a group home for teenage boys, and that was an incredible adventure. Man, was that God prepared me to be a pastor.
Come on. Yes, that's right.
Through that ministry.
That's right. That's
because I was kicked, punched, spit on, called every name in the book. So, you know, when I started pastoring, it didn't bother me at all when people got upset. You can't hurt me.
Come on.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. God is so good.
Yes, He
And then we came back to Meigs County and started pastoring. And now here we are. And this adventure's not over.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
We got a long ways to go and lots of things to accomplish. God has just been pouring into me lately the direction that he wants us to go and some things, incredible things that he wants us to do. And I got to tell you something. I am scared. Personally. If I had to do it by myself, it would frighten me. But I know I've got a big God.
Yes.
And whatever he calls me to do, I am able to do it because he has equipped me to do so.
Hallelujah.
Not by my power or by my might, but by the Spirit of God can it be accomplished. So, whoo, that's right. I could get excited knowing what God is doing and the things that are happening. Man.
Hallelujah.
All right. Man, I've gotten off track here. Hallelujah. Dominion. We got to recognize that God has placed us on this earth to take dominion. And I don't mean that he's called us to dominate people. Please don't misunderstand that. He's called us to rise up into positions where we can influence people for the right, in the right direction, and motivate them to do godly things. In the Old Testament, when the king was a righteous man, the whole nation turned to God. When the king was an evil man, the whole nation turned away from God. You see, there's something to be said about being in a position of influence. God wants you there so that you can touch other people's lives. And if you're in authority over some people, not abusing people, treating people with respect and honor, loving them, being kind and generous to people in that position, God has pushed you there so that you can influence their life. And they can look at you and say, wow, God is doing something in that person. God is using that person. You become an example of Jesus Christ, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And I got to tell you that this is reality. It's not wrong to start out at the bottom, but if you're always at the bottom, you're going to influence very few people. That's just reality. God can use you. God will use you. If that's where you are, you want to stay there, you can. God will not twist your arm and force you to do anything. But if you want to be an influencer in the kingdom of God, you will take your responsibilities so serious that when people see you and know and recognize what you're doing, they will know it's a God thing. You know? I think I told you before about the story with Randy and how he got his job. That they came to him and said that, I think it was temporary at that time. And the boss asked him if he would do it. And somebody beside him said, well, why are you asking Randy to do this? And he said, because I can trust Randy with my wallet. Is that what he said? You know, it was obvious why. Because they looked at him. And you know, the incredible thing is, what Randy does, it takes an absolute honest person in that position.
That's right.
Because they could rip the city off. Uh-huh. And they know. They don't have to, when they lay down at night, they don't have to worry about Randy taking the money home for Betty to spend. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's, you know, those are the kind of things that I'm talking about here. Being an influencer. Recognizing that your position or whatever you're doing is so very, very important. That people are looking at you. They know they know that you call yourself by the name of Little Christ, Christian.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when they know that, they expect certain behavior out of you. Now, I know that people, I've experienced it. Many of you have experienced it. When somebody does something wrong and you're in a position where you have to discipline them, the first thing they try to do is, well, a Christian wouldn't act like that. You know, you get that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that nonsense. Don't let them manipulate you that way, because that's what they're trying to do. When you do the right thing, you know you're doing the right thing. You're doing it for the right reason. Stand your ground.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus said, he told Peter, that he said, on this rock I shall build my church. And I believe he was talking to Peter about the things that Peter had said and how he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And he said, on this rock I will build my church. That's what he told Peter. If we are going to continue building the church, and I'm not talking about Bethel Worship Center, I'm talking about the church at large. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We are just one segment of that body. And you know, praise God. Yeah, I want this body to build. I want it to grow. I want it to become an incredible force in the kingdom of God. I have expectations for those things to happen. I want to see the power of God released in people's lives through Bethel Worship Center. But I also recognize this, that it's just not about Bethel Worship Center. It's not, you know, we can't be self-focused. We must be body-focused. We must be kingdom. Our objective must be to build the kingdom of God. Which means all believers in Jesus Christ, I don't care what their denomination is, they're a part of the body of Christ. They may not believe exactly like we believe on some issues, but we're still believers in Jesus Christ. God's got to sort that all out later on.
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And the last thing we need to do is get all tore up and argue about things. People will come to Bethel Worship Center and be a part of Bethel Worship Center because they align with Bethel Worship Center. If they don't, they'll go someplace else. That's a natural. We're not a church for everyone. We're a church for most everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may think, Pastor, you're really getting carried away with this Platonic thinking and Gnostic thinking and all that kind of stuff. Well, let's think a little bit about some of the things that have been said in the past. For instance, people have said, the church is not a business. Have you ever heard anybody say that? The church is not a business? Well, you know what? I know what they're trying to say, but they're wrong. Because it is a business. It's the Lord's business. And there are certain things that we have to do, spiritually speaking, to be about doing the Lord's business and kingdom. But also, physically, we have certain things that we have to do to be about the Lord's business. I'll tell you what, you tell the IRS that we're not a business. See what they think about that. We're not for profit or a business, but we're a business. You tell the electric company who puts a commercial meter on this church that we're not a business. Because they see us as a business. Just about everybody else out there sees us as a business. And we've got to start seeing ourselves as a business. Because the people that say things like the church is not a business, They're not operating according to proper principles in their churches sometimes. And if you don't operate a church based on good business practice, it's going down the tube very quickly. You've got to do certain things. You've got to handle the finances properly and manage them appropriately. There are certain things that have to be done business-wise for the church to operate on a regular basis so that we can keep those doors open and we can come in here and act spiritual.
Amen, sir.
Amen. But spirituality in business, in the business aspect, is different than spirituality on Sunday mornings. Because Sunday mornings, that's what we do. We raise our hands. You can jump. You can shout. You could run around this place.
Amen.
Amen. Someone might trip you, but you can run. run in this place. You can dance. We wouldn't stop you from dancing as long as it's appropriate dance. Amen. There, you can do all those things. That's very spiritual. You go out in the world, you go up to a cool spot this afternoon. After church, you're getting some gas, and you're standing out there raising your hands and dancing and shouting. They're going to be calling somebody for you. But watch, you know, you're getting gas for your car so that you can get around. You go in and you're going to possibly see the clerk inside. What an opportunity to be a representative for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Glory. Our spirituality does change somewhat depending on our environment and our atmosphere. But we're still spiritual beings. That's why we must recognize, and I've got to go back to this, what I said last week. I wanted to share with you once again the things that God gave Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham, the seven mountains of culture. These seven mountains are the things that in culture, that whoever has control over those seven mountains, they've been called various things, but we've pretty much settled on the seven mountains of culture now because they're the high places in society. Those seven mountains, when they are captured by any segment of society, they're the ones that control the society. And the reality is the Church of Jesus Christ has pulled back away from most of those mountains. We've pulled back into two realms that we feel comfortable in. That is the religious mountain, and it's under severe attack right now. You know, liberal theology is trying to teach us that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he did not die a literal death. He did not come back to life from the dead. All these things that are important. All the things that are important to salvation. And it's encroaching more and more and more on the overall church. The family is under severe attack. Trying to redefine what it means to be a family. Redefine what it means to have a marriage. Redefine what our society says is good and right. These things are under attack. The other mountains have already been captured. That's why we've got an uphill battle. We've got to go back up these mountains. But we can do it because of this one thing. Because our God is a great and mighty God. Our God is on our side. Our God is with us. And there is nothing that the enemy, no trap, no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Thank you, Lord.
And every tongue arises against you, you shall condemn. It can't take you. It can't overcome you. See, that was the thing that I was just talking to you about earlier, about, you know, people saying things and trying to be nasty to you. If you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what people say. It can sting a little bit. I'm not trying to tell you it doesn't sting. It does. But, you know, after you get that little sting and that little smart, you just, you know, You get back up. You may get knocked down a little bit. You get back up and you just keep doing what God's told you to do. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in a situation like that, you're redeemed. God will come back and set things straight in situations like that. People will get their attitude straightened out. You know, praise God. When they don't, you can't worry about it. You've got to keep moving forward. Keep going on. Church, Ecclesiastia. That's what Jesus said to Peter. I'm going to build my church. That's freeing to me. I don't have to build the church. I don't have to build Bethel Worship Center. I have to do things right. I have to be a good steward of the things of God. I have to walk in these things. You see, God, Jesus, delegated his authority to his believers. And he told us to go forth. And we've got to get the mindset and the understanding that what God has given to us is the responsibility of this earth. We have some thinking that has to be tossed aside. This excessive way of thinking that God is a sovereign God and he controls everything. And that we have no control. Everything is predestined. So you might as well just sit in your pew and wait for God to do whatever God's going to do. God, if God wants to heal you, he'll heal you. If God wants you to have a different job, he'll miraculously pick you up from your job and put you in that next job. God just has total and absolute control of everything. But that's not the Bible. That's not what the Word of God teaches. God owns it all. He does own it all. You see, this excessive Calvinism has come to the point where it destroys. Calvinistic thinking, it's not all wrong. And Calvinism is the thought that God is a sovereign God and that he has predestined everything to happen. But the Word of God says this about God, and we've taken some of these scriptures, Psalms 50, verse 10, I believe it says that every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yes, God owns it. There's no doubt about it. Psalms 24, verse 1 says, I'm going to have to look at it because I forget. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. We know that, right? We accept that. We understand it. But we take that thinking to mean that then because God owns it, he's controlling every aspect of our lives. But that's not what the Word teaches. It teaches, he told Adam and Eve to take dominion, to go forth and have authority over everything, including creeps. Remember, we read that last week. We have authority over creeps. Amen. Hallelujah. And in Psalms 115, verse 16, is that the right reference? Let's see if that is. Is that the right? Okay, good. It says, the heaven and the heavens are the Lord's, but he's given the earth to the children of men. Wow. And I could go on and on and on with scriptures that says, God has given this place to us to manage. You see, that's where we've got to get our understanding, is that we don't have ownership of anything here, but we've been placed here to manage it. We got to start thinking about the, you know, our mindset is like a pizza shop, a mom and pop pizza shop where the owners are working in it and they have their hands on and they take care of it. But in God's realm, it's more like a Little Caesars, a franchise. Yeah. You know, there's hundreds of shops all over the place.
That's right.
And those people are managing those shops. But the owner, he may own Multiple places. He doesn't come in there every day and tell everything that's going or know everything that's going on. He has delegated his authority to that manager to take care of it. That's what God has done to us. Delegated his authority. So we need to walk in it. As I said before, and I'm going to wrap things up here. As I said before, it's important that we understand the reality of what God is doing with us in this earth. That he has given us a mandate to go forth, to have dominion, so that we can rise up and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Influence it. But we must make disciples of nations. Not just individuals being saved. You know, the Baptist church does a great job with getting people saved. Get saved, get saved, get saved. No, that's their mandate. Get saved. And praise God, they understand salvation. And many of them are doing a good job of discipling people as well. But getting saved is the big thing. Get saved, get saved. There are other churches that do a good job of teaching people holiness and you know, understanding you walk by the commandments of God if you want his blessings. Salvation is a free gift given to you because of the mercy and the grace of God. Your righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Nobody's going to grab that away from you, take it away from you. However, if you want to walk in the blessings of God, you must obey the word of God. That's simple. That's just the way it is. So we must understand that our mandate, our desire here at Bethel Worship Center is to teach you and train you up. That's one of the reasons that we're starting the spiritual journey classes again and some of these other classes that we're doing, the financial peace, the witnessing. These are tools so that you can be equipped to do what God wants you to do. Tools to help you. And if you're not a member of Bethel Worship Center and you want to be a member, we would ask that you come see me. We want you to go through the spiritual journey class, the Spiritual Journey 101, so that you will have a good foundation. If you don't know whether you're a member or not, come see me. Okay? But that's the purpose. We want to build you up. Because just getting masses of people saved does not change their thinking completely. It helps. It certainly does. Those mountains that I mentioned last week. And let me just real quick go over those once again. The mountains of culture. Our business, government, media, arts and entertainment, education, family, and religion. Now, we have pretty much turned over most of those mountains to worldly thinking and those who operate according to worldly principles. And we've got to start getting our mind focused the same way that the Jewish people have their minds focused. They understand that it's these scriptures in Deuteronomy that talks about God's blessings. Matter of fact, there was a study done by a group of psychologists and sociologists to determine why Jewish children seem to excel more than any other group of children. And the only thing that they could find out, only conclusion that they could come to was the fact that these children, most of them, are blessed by their fathers. In the household. He lays hands on them. He speaks these blessings that I've been speaking over you. Blessed. You shall be blessed. In the city. You shall be blessed in the country. blessings over the fruit of your body, and over the increase of your ground and your cattle and your herds. Blessed in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. They speak those blessings. And those children grow up believing they are blessed. Believing that they have been given a mandate by God to go out and do something in the world. Not always the right thing. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just saying that they believe it. In fact, one of the things that is very important, very interesting to me, is that of all the group people groups in the world, those who receive Nobel Prizes, now there's various areas of Nobel Prizes that are awarded on a yearly basis. And throughout those different areas, a Nobel Prize is the top prize that you could get for your specific area of endeavor, whatever it might be. And of the Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Prizes that have been awarded, 1/5 of those prizes have gone to Jewish people. That's incredible when you think that they only make up 1% of the whole world population. Something's happening with us people. What's wrong with Christians? Where are we? What are we thinking? We're not thinking proper. We're not thinking God thoughts. We're not recognizing that these same blessings are blessings that you can receive according to Galatians 3:29. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. They're yours to have. Walk in them. Grasp them. Hold on to them. Let me show you how important it is to have the mountains. Now, first of all, I want you to understand something. I'm going to talk about homosexuality. And I'm not condemning homosexuals. But they need to recognize Christ as Savior and be able to be delivered from that. It's just like someone who's committing adultery needs to get away from that, turn away from it. Someone who is a liar needs to stop lying. You know, sin is sin. Sin will destroy you. So what I'm about to say here is very important to what this whole message, because the homosexual agenda has been promoted big time over the last probably 20 years, maybe a little less, in our society. The reason for that is because they have captured many of the mountains that I just talked about. Do you realize that in the United States, those who say they are evangelical Christians amounts to about 33% of the people. Those who say they are Catholic, devout Catholics, amounts to about 33%. Total combined, the Christian community that believes basically the same way and believes that homosexuality and all these other things we're talking about are sins, 66% of our nation believes that. 3% of the population claim to be homosexual. Now, what I just shared with you, numbers don't matter sometimes. It matters who's in control. They have had a plan and an agenda to infiltrate the whole nation with their belief system. I applaud them for that. They're wiser than the Christians. And I don't believe they should ever be mistreated. You know, there are terrible things that have been done to people. That's wrong. But without standing before people and before this church, and if I failed to say that homosexuality is a sin in the Bible and God says he's going to reject people for that kind of behavior, just like he's going to reject the liars, there's a place for them too. Sin will kill you and cast you into the lake of fire. We have a loving, awesome, mighty God. We need people who will recognize their calling by Almighty God and rise up into positions of affluence and influence in our community and in our nation. It's going to be a hard road. It's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you that just because God's on your side that you're not going to have to go into the furnace. But if you go into the furnace, God promises he's going to be with you. Children, you know, those three Hebrew children, they said, "We don't care, King. You can kill us if you want, but we're going to serve our God." And God showed up. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Man, I was burning some boxes the other day. It didn't take long to smell like smoke. Got smoke all over me. They went in that furnace and they came back out. They were not singed. They were not touched. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's our God. But we've got to be prepared for this road before us and recognize that God has called us to a higher calling. Begin to realize that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We got to stop looking at ourselves as lowly worms that are just crawling around waiting for the enemy to come along and squash.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in battle. I have been given weapons of warfare. And they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. We got to be strong. And we got to be faithful. Many, many years ago, Dr. Livingston, we've all heard of Dr. Livingston, went to Africa to be a missionary. And he was one of the pioneers as a missionary in Africa. And one time, some people sent him a letter. And they said to him, "We have some folks that would like to come and help you. Are there any good roads so that they can get to you?" He wrote them back just a little note. And he said, "If you only have people that will come if there are good roads, I don't want them. I need people that will come if there are no roads at all." That's what God's calling us to. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Bow your head. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that I've been able to share this message with your people. Thank you that you've given us a higher calling, that you desire for us to come up to another level with you and recognize all that you want for us. Your desire is blessings for your people. Blessings for this one purpose, according to Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember that it is the Lord your God that gives you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant in this earth. Covenant, Lord, that's what it's all about. Kingdom covenant. Accomplishing your will. Thank you for giving us burning desires to do great and mighty things. Help us to overcome this apathy, Father God, that has been in the church for so long, that we want to be comfortable. Help us to rise above our comfort and to move into the area where there is battle, Lord. but to recognize that it's the battle is yours. We're just your tools to be used. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.